Blog Talk
well,
Radio.
Good. Well, good morning and welcome to the International Masterminds Blog Talk Radio Show. My name is Trixie Walker, and I will be your guest host along with my mastermind partner, Shanika Shea. We are the Masters of the Mind. We're here in our virtual studio, and I'm sure that we have others out there listening. I do want to start off by saying the other members of the Mastermind group, Masters of the Mind, Felicia Hertz, Neva Spann, Rosalind Parker, and Belinda Washington. And if they are out there, they will jump on the call at any time. Before we get started, I just want to give some housekeeping rules. We do want as much participation and feedback as we could on the show. So if you're calling in or on the chat, just if you have a question, what we ask you to do is press number one to hold your hand up, and we will put you live so that you can speak. And once you have spoken and had your question answered, press one again to take your hand back down. That way, if you have another question, Shanika, who's back in the studio, she will go ahead and open up your line for communication again. So we want to make sure that you put your hand up with the number one, and then you take your hand down with the number one again. So now that we cleared that up, we just want to go right on into our show here. This is our second call of the month. We're so excited. I know that we're energized this early Saturday morning to be on the air with all of you. So I invite you to call, text, email your friends and family. Tell them that we're on the show right now, and that they can join us via the internet by logging in to www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders with an S, or they can call us by phone at 661-554-9219. Again, if you want to communicate with us while we're talking, you can also join us on the chat room. Shanika's monitoring that. And you can also log in through your Facebook account. Go to the International Masterminds Association Facebook page. Let us know that you're listening. I will be monitoring that throughout our call. And today we will continue our discussion on the Think and Grow Rich book by Napoleon Hill. We will be recapping chapter 2, which is faith. But before we get started, Shanika, will you tell our listeners a little bit about International Mastermind Association?
Sure. Good morning, everybody. The International Mastermind Association, IMA, is a group of like-minded individuals who have come together based on the mastermind concept espoused in Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich. As masterminders, we commit to coming together as a group on a regular basis for coordination of knowledge and effort in spirit of harmony between two or more people for the attainment of a definite purpose. We come together to share knowledge with one another, to support each other in setting and achieving our goals, and to hold one another accountable to what we commit to do for ourselves. We set goals in 10 areas of our lives. Those 10 areas are spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and creativity. You must have goals and plans if you are going to succeed in any endeavor. Successful people have plans while failures never plan. Napoleon Hill said, education, knowledge, and influence is more powerful than any exchange of money. For more information about IMA, that's International Masterminds Association, please visit us on the web at www.internationalmasterminders.com or find us on Facebook, International Mastermind Association. Please follow us by liking our page. We want to say hi to the founder and president of IMA. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building masterminds. I'm sure she's on the call with us this morning. And at some point, she will jump in and give her greeting.
Well, thank you, Shanika. Ms. Ann McNeil, if you're out there, would you like to chime in?
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. This is Ann McNeil, the master builder, building stronger and better lives. And again, we want to thank you, Trixie, and your group for mastering the mind, if you will, and sharing with us the concepts from Napoleon Hill's book on the chapter of faith. And we want to encourage all of our listening audience members to join in the conversation all throughout the radio program. I am so excited, and I can't wait for you to get started, because the faith walk that we all walk is, by faith, if you will. So thank you so very much, and congratulations in advance for a great show.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Ann McNeil. Thank you, Shanika, for sharing the information. And I just want to reiterate what Shanika just said, that IMA is based on the book Think and Grow Rich. It is one of the most influential books of all time. It points the way to personal achievement, to financial independence, and to riches of the spirit beyond measurement of mere money. The riches discussed in this book and in our discussions here today and every Saturday this month at 8 a.m. on Blog Talk Radio need not be thought of only in financial terms. And this is very important, because I had an experience this week where I started to doubt myself in some terms. So it is not in financial terms, and we want to make sure that we reiterate that there are great riches in lasting friendships, harmonious family relationships, sympathy and understanding between business associates, and our inner harmony that brings peace of mind measurable only in spiritual values. Now, the philosophy of Think and Grow Rich will prepare you to attract and enjoy these higher things in life, but only and only if you are ready for them. Be prepared, therefore, when you expose yourself to the influences of the philosophy, to experience a change which may help you not only to negotiate your way through life with harmony and understanding, but also to prepare you for accumulation of material riches and abundance. The gift of this book is this: all achievements, all earned riches have their beginning and a simple idea. If you are ready for the secret, you already possess one half of it. Therefore, you readily recognize the other half the moment it reaches your mind. Now, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you a little bit about myself, and I would hope, Shanika, want to say a little bit about yourself. I am Trixie Walker, and I'm the founder of iteenmom.org. I started that organization because I was a teen mom, and as well as a mom of a teen mom. So I know how hard it is being a teen mom, as well as it's even harder, I should say, is being a mom of a teen mom, because you don't know. You just don't know. And this allows me to reach out to other women or teens and help either prevent teen pregnancy, but when it does happen, to help them see that there's a better way of living. So I hope to inspire others to live their best life. I am also the executive director of a local women's building networking group, which is called WOMTEC, and that's WOAMTEC, which stands for Women on a Mission to Earn Commission. And it is not only for sales commission. This is a bigger commission. It allows us to keep our priorities in order of faith, and faith is the first thing: faith, family, and finances. I am passionate about the association. I am passionate about what the mission is. It is in line with my own life mission. So I welcome any businesswoman out there that's wanting to improve her life personal, professionally. Hang around some like-minded women. have fun, and have lunch. We do meet at the Embassy Suites every second and fourth Wednesdays of the month for lunch from 11:30 to 1. There's open networking, and sometimes we have a speaker. But most importantly, we're there to help each other. It's like having our own little mastermind group. We're in the West Palm Beach, Florida area, and you can find out more about our association by going to WOAMTEC. That's www.womtech.com. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over to my mastermind partner, Shanika. Would you like to do a brief introduction?
Sure. Thanks, Tracy. As she mentioned, my name is Shanika C, and I'm pretty new to masterminding, but I am super excited about being held, having a group to hold me accountable in all areas of my life, not just the financial. And those 10 areas we mentioned earlier on the call, in case you just happen to pop in right now, I'll reiterate that they are spiritual, family, health, financial, business, civic, personal, educational, recreational, and creativity. During the call today, I'm looking forward to discussing some of the ways that our group and our organization has taken Chapter 2 and put our feet with our faith, some of the ways that we help ourselves to develop faith and to maintain it.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Now, I'm just going to go over a little bit what we discussed last week. We kind of opened up by going to the chapter 2 in the Think and Grow Rich book, and we started with faith and stating that faith is the head chemist of the mind. We talked about how to develop faith. We also discussed that the Bible says that all things should be done in faith. Faith is the gift of God. Faith is proof of all things not seen. Faith is necessary in prayer. And faith produces confidence. Again, as I was mentioning this week, what I had a little a moment where I let fear step in front of faith. And then I had to remember that, as Belinda said last week on the call, that fear is false evidence appearing real. And I quickly readjusted that, because as long as you have faith, you have everything. Now, last week, in church, when I went to church, the topic was the faith dare. Now, how ironic is that? I mean, Saturday morning, we're on the show and we're talking about faith and how to develop faith, and, you know, faith is good for your life. And the topic Sunday was the faith dare. And I just thought that was so ironic. So, it was the top of my mind. So any doubt that I had or any little fear that I had, I was able to quickly turn that around, because it's like faith just started showing up everywhere. So, and I just, that's so important to just keep that and know that faith, you hold that up high. Now, going back into the book here, Napoleon Hill states that faith is a state of mind which may be induced by autosuggestion. We're going to talk a little bit more about that. I do see that we have more individuals that's jumped on the call. So I do want to remind you that you are listening to IMA, and we are exploring the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill every Saturday morning for the month of June. But that is not where it ends. We do have the Blog Talk Radio Show every Saturday morning at 8 a.m., and you may hear from other groups. But this group, you are listening to Masters of the Mind Mastermind Group. You can listen to this and the other shows anytime on the web, or you can join us live by calling in to the show, 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us, While we're talking, just press 1. Your hand will go up. And we have someone in the back studio. Shanika's in the back studio. So if you press 1, you can join the call. You can also join us in the chat room, or you can post on the Facebook, International Masterminds Facebook account. We will be monitoring that throughout the call. Now, when I read this book here, I was reading that faith is the external exterior, which gives life, power, and action to the impulse of thought. Napoleon Hill says, have faith in yourself. I mean, how many times do you hear that? Have faith in yourself. Shanika, is there any time that you doubt or have little faith? Is there any time that you've ever experienced that?
Oh, of course. Of course. And as I was reading the book, one of the things that struck me the most is, you know, Napoleon Hill was talking about developing faith and how we develop faith in a variety of different things, different people, you know, different situations and whatnot. But when it comes down to it, when we try to develop faith in ourselves, we'll see that our greatest weakness is not, you know, we didn't have the best education, or we had a poor upbringing, or you know, we only had one parent. That's not our greatest weakness at all. Our greatest weakness is our lack of self-confidence. And we know that self-confidence is another way of saying faith in yourself, that you faith that you are able to attain and achieve those things that you apply yourself to. So what this reminds me of is the importance of helping people to learn how to set goals, number one, to learn how to set high goals, challenging goals, but ones that are attainable, that's number two. And then on top of that, helping people to not back down off of the goals, which is why IMA is such a great resource to people who are trying to make that next leap in their lives, that leap of faith, to basically move into the area that they would like to be, no matter where they are. So when it comes down to I guess overcoming the self-confidence issue, we basically have to take a step back. As you mentioned, Trixie, earlier on the call, the chapter starts out by explaining how faith is the head chemist of the mind. And the second part of the chapter goes on to explain how faith interacts as well with the heart. And so faith isn't isolated to where it's just in the mind. It has to pervade everything and reach the heart. Now, for those of you that just happen to have your book along out there, I wanted to just direct you to page 47. Actually, the last sentence on the bottom of 46 and the top of 47. And it will give you a better idea of what I'm trying to explain here. It says, in connection with this, consider again the statement, all thoughts which have been emotionalized, given feeling, and mixed with faith, begin immediately to translate themselves into their physical equivalent or counterpart. The emotions, or the feeling portion of thought, are the factors which give thoughts vitality, life, and action. The emotions of faith, love, and sex, when mixed together with any other thought impulse, give it greater action than any of these emotions can do singly. This is probably why in the Bible God says to do everything out of faith, you know. And I'm going to turn it over to Trixie in a second, but I wanted to mention an example that kind of made it clear for me what all of this was about. Napoleon Hill said, describing faith where it does not already exist is extremely difficult to describe, almost as difficult as it would be to describe the color of red to a blind person who has never seen color and has nothing with which to compare what you describe. So trying to describe faith to me boils down to an example of great old movie night. Anyone, so you know, you come across some people, they love movies, you know, they laugh, they cry, they get involved in the plot, they start guessing ahead. And some people, it's just something on the screen that it really doesn't do much for them. They'd rather be spending their time somewhere else. And so I just want to take that simple example to say this, that those who have learned to really, and this is not a knock on people who can't enjoy it or, you know, a movie, but the people who really learn to enjoy or experience a movie have learned to let their guard down, in the sense of letting their mind be tricked into believing what Belinda has said last week and what Trixie said again this week, the fear acronym, that it's false evidence appearing real. When you engage in a movie, you allow yourself to believe for a moment that this whole scenario situation is real and that you are there experiencing everything with the characters. Another factor is that it pulls in experiences from your life, and it touches an emotional core, and it also hits chords of things that you wanted to do but for some reason you haven't. So for those people who are allowing themselves to have faith in that what they're seeing is actually what's the truth, then that's how they tap into that wellspring of emotion and whatnot, and they're able to enjoy and experience the movie. Now, fast forward to the end of the movie, they've laughed, they've cried, they've experienced everything. What do? Again, we remind ourselves this was not real. You know, it touched me, it was nice, but then we move along. So when we translate that to our real life, if we see ourselves as those characters on stage and we look ahead into the future or, you know, the plot of the story, you know, we have to engage emotionally in our own lives. So we have to look at the main characters, you know, and we have to look at the situations and the surroundings, and we have to not disengage, but we have to engage ourselves so that when we do reach the end of our lives, we can say, whew, you know, that was great. It spent me, you know, it took a lot out of me, but I got exactly out of the movie what I expected.
Oh, wow. Yes. Now, it goes on, I'm just reading some of my notes here that, you know, Hill identifies desire as an essential element for success. Well, faith is an element for success. Because beyond desire, faith is a strong emotion, you know, that gives desire great power when they are mixed together. So faith is like a booster rocket.
Exactly. I was thinking the same thing. I just could not figure out the word. It is a booster. It is exactly a booster.
Yes. And it speeds up, you know, the transformation of thoughts and desires, which in turn provides success or gives you total success. I think we a line open or something, because I can hear some feedback, Janika.
Yes. What happens is we have now some callers who have joined the call. So welcome and thank you for joining us. As Trixie was saying, if you would like to ask a question, you press 1. And once the question has been answered, you press 1 again to put your hand down, so that if you have another question, we can be aware that you have another question.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. I didn't want that to disturb the listeners either.
Thank you so much.
No worries. So as I was saying that, or we were talking that faith is like a booster rocket, and faith, you know, works through our subconscious mind. It's the chemistry of the mind, which faith and other strong emotions, you know, color and transform our thoughts and form it so that it is readily accepted and acted upon by our subconscious mind. And specifically, you know, faith that the desired outcome is possible and we would eventually, it would eventually take place by just having that faith. I am working on several different things. I wear many hats, as so many of us do. We wear so many hats, and we're just doing. We just never, you know, actually stop to realize what we're doing. And I know that I'm a doer, and once I continue to just do, I feel like I'm not really accomplishing something because I'm just constantly doing.
Right.
But, you know, and it's was so hard for me because it's like in the beginning of anything, you know, starting out a new business, starting up a new company, starting up a new networking group, anything you do, at first you are going to feel that you're not meeting others, and I do that with the quotation marks with my fingers, what others think you should be doing. So you start to doubt yourself. And that's where it takes you back to when I said you have to have faith in yourself, regardless of anyone else, because there is only one higher power. So we have to stop worrying about what everyone else thinks should be what we should be doing.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying? Yes.
Yes. And I think Ann wants to chime in here. Ann, you're on the line.
Thank you. Good morning again. I just want to go back, Tamika, to the point you made on page 47 because it's an excellent, excellent, excellent part of the book. And the following paragraph after that, Napoleon Hill goes on to say that from the statement that you read, that we will understand that the subconscious mind will translate into its physical equivalent a thought impulse of a negative or destructive nature just as ready as it will act upon thought impulses of a positive, constructive nature. And I just wanted to mention that because so often we think of faith and we think of positive, but oftentimes through that same activity, we can convince ourselves of something that's very negative and hold on to it and actually draw it to ourselves because our subconscious mind does not know the difference between true or false. It only knows what we tell it and what we program it through visualization, pictures, visions, boards, and those kinds of thoughts. And so I just wanted to just bring that up and get both of your opinion on that thought.
Oh, and that's excellent. To bring that up again, and I thought I'm glad that you mentioned the affirmation, the vision boards. I was planning to address that a little later in the call. What I wanted to say, I guess to add on to what you were just saying, is that greatest weakness, again, is the lack of self-confidence. And Trixie was asking earlier, you know, about doubts, whether I ever have, you know, doubts or struggle with faith in certain areas in this or that. And the answer is yes, yes, and yes. And I find that my greatest weakness a lot of times is that lack of self-confidence. But when I get my, you've heard people say, get your head in the game. When I get my head back in the game, you know, you have to do it fast because otherwise you end up in a rut. You get your head back in the game and you're ready to go. Whatever it is you need, a timeout, you know, you need to meet, you know, with God a little bit, you need to review your affirmations, you do what it is that is required to get your head back in the game. Because fear, you know, it's a nice acronym that Belinda gave us that we mentioned again today, you know, false evidence appearing real. But fear itself is a very real thief. And it robs us of a lot of the potential, the time, you know, the game, just all of the accomplishments that we could have if we would just basically learn to stand up against it. And fear kind of reminds me of two things. Number one, of a lion with no teeth. You know, it looks big and bad, and it stomps around and roars, and, you know, has saliva dripping everywhere. You swear you're going to be eaten alive. But when you take a minute to just kind of zoom in on the mouth, there's no teeth. There's no teeth. It might can beat you around a little bit if you let it, but it can't devour you unless you jump in its mouth, you know, and that's a different story. And then the second thing it reminds me of is an old dog. You know, there's a saying about dogs. I'm not sure, you know, if it's technically true, but that when it comes to confrontation, if you show fear, the mm-hmm. dog becomes even more aggressive and, you know, boisterous. But if you actually ignore it, then the dog will settle down and kind of get bored and kind of walk away. And with me, I had a fear of dogs for the longest time in my life. We actually had a dog. I think that actually started the fear in me because the dog was always taller than I was. We got it when I was a child, like a toddler, and the thing was huge. And it liked to play and jump all over you. And, you know, as a kid, sometimes you don't know the difference between when the dog is playing and when it's not. But anyway, so as an adult or as a teen, you know, and then a young adult, I took that. I believed it. I don't know if it's true, but I believed that thing about, you know, the dogs and fear and whatnot. And I've looked, you know, instead of shaking when I pass by pit bulls and all that foolishness, I just ignore it, turn my head, keep it in the corner of my eye, but I turn my head, and it's true. I found it to be true. Because I don't know if it's technically true, but I believe that it was true, and it has helped me that now I'm not afraid of dogs. Silly little example, but it's one that shows the power that fear can have on you. It's like a roaring lion, but in reality, no teeth, and it's like a barking, you know, aggressive, mad dog. But when you just take your focus off of it and look away, keep it in the corner of your eye, but look away, you know, it loses interest in you. And before you know it, it goes on about its business. Now, we have a caller here that's been waiting so patiently online. caller, area code 201, you are on the air.
Hi, good morning, Trixie. Good morning, Shanika. It's Stephanie Ebanks from West Palm Beach, Florida. How are you?
Hi. Fine, thanks. Hi. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Good. I just want to mention that one of the biggest faith killers that we have in our lives, unfortunately, are family and friends. I don't think they mean to, but they can, you know, be one of your biggest faith killers. And that's why it is so important, and Napoleon Hill said, we surround ourselves with like-minded people so they can help us to remain strong in the face of those family and friends who are trying to, I think, like I said, they mean well. Sometimes they do mean well. Sometimes they don't. You know, they just, that can shore up your faith when you're feeling doubtful or fearful. They can remind you of why you're doing what you're doing or what your reasons are for going into that business or doing whatever it is you're proposing to do or trying to do when your friends and family are telling you no, no, no. They can remind you, yes, 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 this is what you're doing it for this reason. They can also, that's why it's so important that Napoleon Hill says to surround yourself with like-minded people, because your friends and family can sometimes be the biggest faith killers we have in our lives.
That's so true.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Stephanie.
I just want to remind you that you are listening to the IMA, and we are exploring the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. on www.blogtalkradio.com/masterminders. You can listen to this, and I'm sorry? What was that?
Oh, yes, I said thank you for that reminder.
And you can also listen to this and other shows anytime on the web or join us live by calling the show 661-554-9219. If you want to communicate with us while we're talking, just press 1. I do see that Ann, your hand is still up. If you press 1, we'll take it down. And Stephanie Ebanks, if you press 1, we'll take that down. And you can also log on through our Facebook account. Now, I do see, Shanique, I'm going to let you take over. I do see that we have some other hands raised in the back there. Before we continue, I want to make sure that we address that.
Yes. What I wanted to do was to address, as well as speaker in our guest in our chat room, Mika, we realize you are there and we saw your comment. If you are unable to dial in, that's okay. If you could put your concerns in writing, then we'll post it to the group and let them chat about it. So I see here that you started a question, and we will answer it in just a minute there. So we have another caller waiting so patiently. Last 4 digits of the phone number, 6310. And you are on the air.
Oh, hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Michael Baptiste. I am a member of the Youth International Mastermind Association. And, you know, I'm calling because I just wanted to simply ask a question, you know, kind of to piggyback off of what Stephanie said, how Stephanie spoke about how, you know, our family members and our friends and those whom of which we actually associate closely, they can be, you know, some of the biggest killers of our faith and actually, you know, bring upon more fear in terms of what we're trying to do. Also, excuse me, I'm in the airport right now, so excuse me if it sounds loud in the background. But just to continue, you know, how is it that one can actually, you know, counteract that negative influence from family and, you know, close friends that one, you know, pretty much has to be around. You know, how do you actually go about, you know, steering away from that and actually focusing on your goals regardless of what they've got going on and, you know, the influences they're trying to put on you?
Mm-hmm. That is so true. Because they don't see what we're doing. They don't really see that as being as important to them. So, mm-hmm. Of course, exactly.
Yeah, thanks for calling in from the airport there. You're welcome to call from wherever you are. And that's an excellent question. And it's actually one that I've dealt with. I've dealt with probably more recently than I have in the past. And I think it has to do with this. The greater it is that your goal, or the more insurmountable it may seem even to you, then the more grace you have to give people to be free to believe whatever it is that they want to think. Once you identify, my opinion, once you identify who those people are, the naysayers, then you let them stay in that position. It's not your job to prove them wrong. It's your job to prove yourself right, right?
Yes.
And so when you see those folks, like I said, just let them stay there. And it's not, you don't enter discussions and debates with them. You very politely can find ways that to where that particular conversation or whatever it is not exactly one where you're going to take your encouragement, and you know it. Now, having said that, I want to say be careful. The naysayers are the ones that can actually warn you of pitfalls that you don't see so that you can prepare for it. So you have to get your mind in the game and know that when you're talking to these people that they love you, they have your best interest in mind, except they have chosen the side of fear. You're going to take their fear and make it a positive force for yourself and say they're afraid about this. Let me look into that. Is that a real or legitimate concern for me? How can I prepare against it? If it's not, you move on. If it is, then they've just saved you from making one more mistake. Does that seem to help at all?
Yes. That absolutely does. Basically, where it seems like what you're saying is I kind of have to decipher the information that they're giving me, and you know, really kind of pinpoint whether they, you know, their intentions are to help me or to bring me down. So, I guess what you're really trying to do is tell me, you know, it's all about how I interpret the information, correct?
Yes, and it's also about, you don't have to, part of being a masterminder is that you choose to be held accountable to certain things. you don't have to mastermind with every Joe and Jill on the street. So if that person comes to you, you can put up a healthy boundary to where you're not being held accountable to them in that area or to yourself through them in that area. You know what I mean? And this is what I mean. If you see a person, like you say, and if for some reason we don't know if they want to pull you down or pull you up, whatever the situation is, you take their feedback for what it is, but at some point you can draw the line to where you can interact with them on every level except regarding whatever it is that they don't believe in. And what are you doing in the background? Now, in the background, you are doing things to keep your own faith going. You're repeating your affirmation. You're reviewing your vision board. I'm going to talk a little bit later, if we have time, about the activity log that we do. You're staying accountable to somebody in your group. So you're feeding yourself positivity so that when you do reach negativity, you're already full. You know what I mean? You don't have to try to get your food from that person that's not going to feed it to you. Does that make any sense there?
Oh, yes, it makes perfect sense. Thank you very much.
Oh, yes, thanks again for calling. Okay, we have several more callers. Very, very patient. We have one here. You're local, and the last 4-4-6-4-7. You are.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Belinda Washington. How are you doing this morning?
Good morning.
All right, ladies, you're doing an excellent job. I'm part of the Master of the Mind group, and I was listening in, and the comment that I wanted to make really goes in line with what you were just saying, Shanika, to our young male caller. On page 50 in the book, the very bottom, it talks about any idea, plan, or purpose may be placed in the mind through repetition of thought, and then it challenges us to write out a statement of your major purpose or your definite chief aim, commit it to memory, and repeat it out loud day after day until these vibrations of sound have reached your subconscious mind. And that's what I was thinking about. That is so, so very, very important. One of the things that I had my group hold me accountable for was to actually write out my affirmation. And one part of my affirmation says that I am anointed to preach the gospel and to reach the lost and the hurting with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I'll tell you that every week since I've been saying this affirmation, the doors have opened and I've had to preach. One week I had to minister two times in that week. So it's very, very powerful what we say. Every day I'm saying this. Every night I'm saying this. And so that's something, too, that I was thinking about. When the caller called in, we're with ourselves 24/7. I'm always with me. You know, you're always with yourself. So even if you have negative people around you, if you write out your statement, that positive statement, you know, I am a whatever. If you want to be an engineer, I am an engineer, and I am making $1 million. I am. And you say that day after day, you're with yourself. So you'll begin to draw that in. When you're sitting in your engineering classes, you'll draw in the wisdom to understand what that professor is teaching. When different companies come to interview and to select, to hire for job opportunities, you'll draw that company into you to say, oh, we want Mr. So-and-so, or we want Miss So-and-so, because you've been saying it. It's so powerful that we're drawing this in. I just wanted to share that about faith. I just wanted to share that point.
Thank you, Belinda. That is awesome, and I can't agree enough with her about the affirmation part. Because going back to the movie example, if we remember how when they're live and on stage in the theater, you know, as well as when they're recording, but they have a chance to, you know, stop the camera and redo it. But think about the live performers. The one important thing is the lines. When you first say it, it's kind of awkward, you know, because it doesn't feel like it belongs to you, you know, like you're pretending to be something else. But as soon as you practice and you practice, you spend a week on that, you know the thing back and forth. When it's your time, you know, it's opening day, it's the grand debut, you are live and in action, you know. And one other good thing about practicing your lines is when you, if you happen to say them in a certain way or say a certain thing, and you say it in a way where you haven't, it shows it hasn't penetrated you and really reached your heart, like you really don't believe it, then you're called out on it, and you have a chance to either reinforce your faith, this is what I want, or to change direction. But there's no difference between, you know, the person that we see that actually is living the lines, right, and the person on the screen who is pretending to, not pretending, but, you know, they're putting on that character so that they can move forward. And in our minds, when our minds internalize this and we're ready and we leap into action, it becomes part of who we are. And it's not about delusion. It's more about confidence, because you're going to put action with it. You're not just going to walk around talking, but you're actually going to put feet to your faith. Thank you, Belinda, for that. That was excellent. I see we have another caller here on the line, 817, the last four, 8794. Thank you for waiting so patiently here. You're on the air.
Hi. I was calling to come in, and it really adds on to the caller before, because I'm on page 51 in the book, and at the bottom it states that what we are what we are because of the vibrations of the thought that we pick up and register through the stimuli of our daily environment. And I feel that if we could visualize the positive outcome of what we desire and think on how we would like to feel once we achieve our desire, that it opens the measure of faith that's been extended to us. And I think that kind of could help the gentleman before kind of clearly understand how he could write something down on a piece of paper, continue to repeat it, and then he could make it come a reality in his own mind by thinking about how the achieving the objective desire makes him feel.
Oh, exactly. That's focusing, like you say, on the outcome, remembering what it is that we want and how we want to feel from going through all the madness.
Yeah, that repetition that does create faith. Daily recitations of a goal or action plan, as Belinda was saying, and the time frame is a key part of that prescription. Napoleon Hill points out that beyond committing the plan to memory and reading the plan out loud to yourself each day, it's important, but the vibrations of that sound, that reaches our subconscious mind. So repetition is important. Repetition is faith, you know, that creates faith. I do want to tell you that faith can be used in a negative or positive ways, because you basically get what you focus on.
Right.
If you always focus
right.
on the negative, you're going to get the negative. If you focus on the bad, you're going to get the bad. But focus on positive, you get that. So whatever you focus on is what you're going to get.
Right. Right. That's excellent. That was also in this chapter too covered about it takes just as much effort to believe the negative than it does the positive, so why not believe mm-hmm. the positive, you know? And the answer to that is because it's much more difficult to live out the positive. At this point, we have several callers in the chat room. I just want to let you know that we see you there, and you've been personally greeted. You're welcome to repost your question, to please let us know what you'd like us to relay to the group. Thank you again for joining us. And for those listeners who have not called in or Facebooked or joined the chat room, just wanted to let you know that you can get more information about IMA, International Masterminds Association, by visiting us on the web, www.internationalmasterminders.com, or on Facebook, International Mastermind Association. Please follow us by liking our page. The name of the book that we're discussing is Think and Grow Rich, the original version, restored and revised, by Napoleon Hill, ISBN number. You ready for this one? 1.59330.200.2.
Awesome. Thank you for giving us that reminder. I have been checking the Facebook page, and I think Doretha did a little shout-out to us, just reminding everyone to listen to our call. So thank you, Doretha, if you're out there listening. And just wanted to mention, because we stated that in this book, that faith is like the second step to riches. And people always, when we say, I'm sure like most of you, when you first heard the book Think and Grow Rich, you're thinking, oh, wow, this is some steps that I can take, or some principles that I can follow to achieve riches, you know, and thinking of it as in terms of money and not so much as just like what we're reading, what we're actually experiencing. You know, you're thinking it's one thing until you start reading, and then, because I think Felicia, one of our other mastermind partners, we were discussing it one day, and she said, you know, when I first picked up this book and I started reading, and she was, like, ready to go toe-to-toe with Napoleon Hill. She was like, before she started reading it, it was like, oh, you can't think, you know, she was just thinking, like, oh, it can't be that way, it can't be that way, until she actually started reading it and seeing that it was not monetary only. So I wanted to point that out, too, because that's the first thing people do. They probably pick up the book because everyone's just thinking, like, how can I get more? How can I get more? How can I get more? You know, but the faith, it starts in the mind anyways. I mean, we're all born with complete control of our own mind. It's sad that it takes us a couple of, you know, years, probably longer than that, centuries, before we actually get it. But I wanted to point out something that I read from Napoleon Hill. He says, know what you want and believe that you can and will get it. Give expressions of gratitude. Oh, I think we have someone in the background. Okay. All right. So as I was saying, number one, know what you want and believe that you can and will get it. Always give expression of gratitude, because possessions of anything starts in the mind. So be grateful for what you are about to receive. Keep your mind open to hunches from within, and don't wait. Move on your own initiative, because no application applies faith without action. I mean, you can't have faith without taking action as well. So when you're overtaken by defeat, you are tested many times before you are crowned with victory. And this is what a lot of business owners go through when they first start out.
Yeah.
Because a burning desire, when you have that burning desire, believe and then take action. And when doubt creeps up, remember, what a man believes, he also reaps. So faith is our guidance, and we should always believe, and then we still receive.
Thank you so much, Trixie, for that. That's so true. Before I address it there, I just want to remind the listeners who called in and have spoken to please press one more time to put your hand down, so that if you have another question, I'm aware that you would like to speak. Double-checked in the chat room, and so far everybody seems to be sitting tight. And then you said on the Facebook page, everybody has had a chance to contribute their input?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, excellent. And now back to what Trixie was saying, it's so true. It's so true. And Napoleon Hill has another line that he's known for, which is that it takes us half our lives to realize that life is a do-it-yourself project. And I laugh every time I think about it, because when it comes down to it, the things that we've been talking about today, about having faith in everything but yourself, how to change that lack of self-confidence, by, you know, repeating our affirmations. And I guess next week we'll have to talk about the vision boards and the activity logs, but actually putting the feet to your faith. All of that has to do with something that you can control. And if you can help yourself and control the controllables, then as Trixie was just saying, every time you get knocked down, you see what knocked you down. Is, you know, can I respond in a way that's within my control? You know, is my response within my means of control? And, of course, it always is. It's your response, just like your mind, your thoughts are, your emotions. You can find a way to rise. So we're running a little bit short on time right now. Wanted to turn it over to Trixie. She wanted to tell us, tell us more about our business in life.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Shanika. We're down to 5 minutes. This has been a very well received blog talk today, because we did have so much participation. We had people jump in, chime in. We were able to discuss other things outside of the book, and that's been a great experience for me. I needed to hear what each and every one of you had to say. So I do believe that God brings people into our lives at a certain time when we need them, whether it's to hear or see, feel, whatever it is. So I do believe that, and I want to thank each and every one of you for that. I don't know if we have any questions. I do want to go ahead and get us closed out of here, because we like to start on time and end on time. And everyone's going to have a wonderful weekend. So, Shanika, do we have anyone in the chat room that we need to address or on the call before I actually, before we end our call?
It looks like we're all set and clear.
Awesome. So remember, your business in life is presumably to achieve success. And to be successful, you must find peace of mind, acquire the material things of life, and above all, attain happiness. All of these evidence of success begin in the form of thought impulses. You control your own mind. You have the power to feed it whatever thought impulses you choose. With this privilege goes also the responsibility of using it constructively. You are the master of your own earthly destiny, just as surely as you have the power to control your thoughts. You may influence, direct, and eventually control your own environment, making your life what you want it to be. Or you may neglect to exercise the privilege, which is yours, to make your life to order, thus casting yourself upon the broad sea of circumstances where you will be tossed hither and yon like a chip on the waves of the ocean. There are no limitations of the mind except those we acknowledge. Both poverty and riches are the offsprings of your thoughts. Financial independence, riches, desirable business, and professional positions are not within reach of the person who neglects or refuses to accept, plan, and demand these things. As Miss Ann McNeil always says, you have to have a dream to have a dream come true. I want you all to go out and make it a great day. We are the Masters of the Mind group here for IMA, thanking each and every one of you for joining us this morning. We look forward to listening to you next week at the same time, 8 a.m. on Saturday morning. Have a blessed week, and thanks again to all of our listeners for tuning in. Blog Talk Radio, Masterminders. No goodbyes, we're just signing off. Have a wonderful day, everyone.